All right, today we're going to pray for the extension ministries. Some people call them parachurch ministries, but they ideally should be an extension of the body of Christ. So let's get into what they actually are, some examples of them, some statistics, some marks of a good one, and how to look for ones that may not be actually an extension of the body of Christ, and then how to pray for them. So ideally, they should be Christian faith-based organizations. They work outside and sometimes across denominations to engage in social welfare, evangelism. They usually seek to come alongside the church if they're healthy, and they specialize in things that individual churches may not be able to because of the lack of manpower or money or skills. They often cross denominational and national boundaries, providing specialized services and training. Can you think of examples of any of these? Well, they can feed the hungry, focus on families, evangelize youth, send missionaries. They publish, lobby, educate, broadcast, fund, clothe, heal. They serve the Christian community around the world. And according to the National Center for Charitable Statistics, over 90,000 nonprofit organizations, Protestant, filed a tax form for Christian work, and their revenue exceeded $1.8 billion. Yeah, total assets over $4 billion. And these are not including churches. So these are Christian nonprofit organizations. Some of them that reported less than 20,000, 25,000 a year, or any of the countries, was 160,000 Christian educational institutions. So a parachurch is not found in Scripture. You know, I looked up several different people who have done studies on this extensively, but it is considered an arm of the church. Historically, the tendency is to develop a mind of its own, if it's bad, and crawls away from the body of Christ, which then creates a mess. Maybe somebody that doesn't like something at a church and then goes off and tries to create their own little ministry, and without the protection and of the church accountability, often can get into trouble. So how can we keep from that? There are some positives. Let's look first at some examples. Christian healthcare groups, places for women to go who don't want abortions. There are Christian organizations that specialize just in that. There are rescue missions, Christian ones, for the homeless, for the runaways, for battered women, for foster children, for orphans. There are Christian groups that specialize in food ministries. There are Christian groups that are statewide, national, for grief, people who have suffered grief, lost someone in their life. There's Christian counseling ministries, foster agencies, women's groups, Christian businesswomen and men's clubs. There's groups that serve the colleges, like InterVarsity. And there are Christian groups that serve and encourage people to get into missions, like YWAM. There are those that focus on children, Good News Club. There are those that focus on prayer, National Day of Prayer groups, prayer movements for cities, counties, states, nations, the world, Intercessors for America. There are those that help translate the Bible, like Wycliffe, into indigenous languages. Then there are ministries that focus on special people groups, like the autistic, American Indians, bikers, celebrities, Hollywood, media. And this is just to name a few. So if they're not in Scripture, are they legitimate? It depends. If they are consciously and carefully seeking to serve Christ Church and not pull them down, not talk them down, but to come alongside and encourage people to be a part of one, then they can be a good part of that. So, Father God, we pray for these ministries that exist in our county, and we could not find an exhaustive list, but you got some ideas. We pray that they would know that they exist primarily to protect the body of Christ, that they need to make, and we pray they make a clear distinction whether they are between the church or outside the church, and share that when they're ministering to people. They avoid acting like the church in that they don't say they are a church, but they are part of the body of Christ, that they are a Christian movement with Christian morals and standards. They don't pressure people to become like them. They are humble. They understand the difference between how to help people in a practical way and also do things with the standards and morals of the Bible. That they know how to manage their money well, Father. We pray that they do that. That they make a strong and maintain a strong commitment to understanding and sharing the gospel, and that they have accountability relationships tied to their church, to a church at large. So we pray specifically for your word over them, that the love of these brothers and sisters might abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, and that they might be able to discern what is best, Philippians 1, 9 and 10. That God, you might make them worthy of your calling, and that by your power, you might bring to fruition every desire for goodness and every deed prompted by faith, 2 Thessalonians 1:11. That they might have power together with all of God's people to grasp the limitless dimensions of your love, Jesus, for them, so they might become mature, Ephesians 3:17 through 19. And we pray, God, that they would clothe themselves with humility, recognize that when we came to Christ, we became united into one body, and that we are not separate from each other, but we are connected to each other. May they be about your work, O Lord, in specialized ways that the physical church is unable to do, the church building church, that type of church. But we also pray for believers within churches to rise up and do a lot of the ministries that some of them are doing, and so fulfill the law of Christ. In Jesus' name.